Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
1 John chapter number 5, if you have a Bible, and if you do have a Bible, say amen. I was just reading in Nehemiah this past week, and the scripture talks that when they brought out the book of the law, that Nehemiah and Ezra would have them stand. So I don't do this often, but if you're able and you're willing to, would you stand with us as we take our text and read the Word of God this morning? 1 John chapter number 5, and for some of y'all that are saying, how long are we going to be standing? I have one verse. So one verse, and you'll be able to take your seat. 1 John chapter number 5. And we'll be reading in verse number 12. 1 John chapter number 5. If you found your place and you're ready to read, say amen. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. How about this? Since it's so short this morning, would you read that with me? 1 John 5 and 12. Read it out loud. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You can be seated. Father, I ask you now to forgive me and cleanse me of any sin of omission, commission, Lord, subconscious, Lord, conscious sin. Forgive me and cleanse me, Lord. I'm well aware of my need of you, and I pray, Father, this morning for a special touch, a special unction, or to be able to preach and proclaim the Word of God. Father, this morning I ask if there be one here that's never met you, Lord, or known you, or the free pardon of sin, or that today would be the day that you would draw them with cords of love. I pray, Father, this morning, if there be one here that's discouraged in the way, Father, that you would encourage them this morning. I pray, Father, if there be one here, Lord, Father, that may be distant or cold, and maybe they've come to a place of failure. I pray that this would be a morning of reconciliation, Father, for the prodigal that's drifted. Father, I thank you for this dear place, this dear pastor. Lord, I want to thank you for this dear work that you've done and his dear family and these dear people. God, and I pray today, Father, that for a moment that Christ would be glorified in our midst, that you would manifest yourself. Father, you told us before you left in the upper room and Lord, that he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of you and the Father, Father. And you said that you would manifest yourself to us. So I pray this morning, Father, Lord, in this place, in this moment, manifest yourself to someone. Manifest yourself to the lost. Manifest yourself to the saved. And whatsoever you see fit to do, Father, we'll praise you and thank you and give you glory. For it's in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, that we do humbly pray. God's people said, amen. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God, hath not life. That's the message. He that hath the Son hath life. Now, I personally have been reading the Scripture for many years, and many of you in here, I wonder if we took all of the time that each of us have read in the Scripture and added it together, it would probably be years and decades of time that we've accumulatively spent reading the Word of God. And in all of that time, you've came to verses that were probably dense in their understanding, maybe difficult to understand. And some of you have came across verses like Jesus wept and said, that's fairly easy to understand. But before us this morning is a verse that doesn't mince words. And it doesn't take 4 years of theological study to understand what this verse means. The Apostle John puts it to us like this. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. What does that mean? Well, it means that if you have the Son of God, that you have life. And it means that if you do not have the Son of God, that you do not have life. It couldn't be any more straightforward. It drowns out all of the questions. Do you have the Son? Do you have the Son? And if you'll listen this morning, I believe we can answer that question. If you say, Brother Jay, I don't know if I have the Son. Well, listen what the Word of God says. Now, there's nothing better than having the Son except one thing. That's knowing that you have the Son. And there's only one thing better than knowing you have the Son and having the Son, and that's knowing how long you have the Son. And thank God, if you have the Son, you can know it. And if you have the Son and know it, you can know for how long. And I'm glad on the authority of the Word of God that if you've got the Son, you've got Him for all eternity. Can I get a witness here? Old preacher Jack Lassiter said, now when I do this, what do? Amen. And if I do that and you don't do that, I'll look like a truck with a big wide mud flap on it this morning. So if you have the Son, you can know you have the Son, and you can know that you've got Him for all eternity. Thank God this morning. You can know, I mean you can really, truly, actually know if you have the Son. Matter of fact, the word know is mentioned 40 times in 32 verses in the book of 1 John. You can know, and I love the book of 1 John. Many theologians call 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, little John. Of course, this is John the disciple writing, the same John who wrote the Gospel of John. This is him. And this book is about knowing that you know Jesus. It's a book about loving Jesus. It's a book about fellowshipping with Jesus. It's a book about abiding in Jesus. And John is simply saying, he that hath the Son hath life. And if you have the Son, you can know that you have the Son. And furthermore, you can rejoice in the fact that you have the Son. Can I get some help this morning? So John, in the book of 1 John, gives some ways that we can know that we have the Son. One of the first ones is in 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 3. The Bible says, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. So a qualifying question to if you have the Son, do you keep His commandments? Now the Bible says if you say you know Him and you don't keep His commandments, that you are a liar, and I am a liar if I say that I know Him and don't keep His commandments. Well, what does it mean to keep His commandments? Well, there's a difference between the word keep here and the word obey. And we should obey the commands of our Lord. Can I get a witness? But this word keep that John uses here in 1 John chapter number 2 is a word that means to protect or to love or to cherish or to hold on to or to build a defense around in your life. Let me ask you this question. Do you love the Word of God? And aren't you grateful for the Word of God this morning? That's what the apostle is saying to us, to attend to the commandments of the Lord, to care for, to guard, to know, to observe, to reserve, to look at, to behold, to view tentatively, to survey the commands of our Lord. So that's my question. Jesus said this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The scripture says this in John 14 and 21, he that hath my commandments and what keepeth, that's the same word that's used right here in 1 John and 2. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. If you keep, if you attend, if you guard, if you love his word, you can rest assured that the Son of God abides in you. And beloved, I may not be the greatest theologian, I may not be the greatest Bible teacher, and I may not be a celebrity preacher or an evangelist, but I know this, that when I hear this book and see this book opened up and somebody takes a text and I begin to hear the word of God, I rejoice in my soul. Hallelujah. Well, I'm from the mountains. Are y'all okay with this preaching? And I just had wisdom tooth surgery 2 weeks ago, so if y'all see a blood clot rolling out, just dodge it, all right? It'll be okay. Thank the Lord. I love his word. How about you? I love to hear that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I love to hear that the Lord God loves me and that he loves you, and it's all based on his word. I love to hear that no foundation can any other man lay that is laid than that which is Jesus Christ. Thank God for the word. Hallelujah. The word. Do you keep his commandments? Do you love his word? Thank God. Secondly, this morning, do you love the brethren? Now, what does that mean? Well, 1 John 3 and 14, it's in the same book that we're reading in. This is the same system he's setting, a way for us to know that we have the Son. We know in 1 John 3 and 14 that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. One preacher said it like this: one sure mark of a transformed life is the desire to be with fellow Christians. Am I right? Hallelujah. A profession Christian is one who prefers the company of the people of God. And if they do not prefer the company of the people of God or of other brothers in the Lord Jesus Christ, then it is a possibility, or it could be an evidence, that they've never been saved before. But if you have been saved and you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and he has transformed you, there is good evidence to believe that you have the Son. Can I get some help? Hallelujah. Well, I'm about to shout my own preaching this morning. Thank God. There's a natural love for me, for my sister, Kelsey Davis, there at church this morning, at our home church. I love her to death. You don't want to play a board game with her, or you're not going to love her like you did before. She is a cheat and a swindler, and will try to beat you at the game of life or any kind of board game that you play. But no matter how mad I've gotten at her when she tattletaled on me, no matter how mad I've gotten at her when we played board games and she cheated and moved the dice and said it was her turn and not mine, no matter how upset I've ever gotten at her, the disagreement sideways, a little bit of different preference or a little bit of different style, I've always loved her, preacher. And just because I may have gotten upset at someone, or you've gotten some kind of qualm or something against somebody in the church, thank God there's still a love inside the people of God for other people of God. Thank God for the church this morning. And if you have the Son, you love the body. Amen. Hallelujah. I love the church. I want to tell you, I was excited when I pulled up and saw those old ugly fellas out there directing traffic. Amen. Thank God. I said, that's some of the church. And I got to the front door and I saw them shaking hands while they was coming in, giving directions. And I saw you, pastor, pointing us to where we needed to go. And I saw some of you smiling and singing about Jesus. I'm telling you, I didn't know you, but I love you, thank God. And that's an evidence of how you can know that you've been transformed and that you have the Son. Amen. Hallelujah. The Spirit of Christ rests in you if you have the Son. You serve the same master. You love his word. You have the same life. And that life is Christ. Because he that hath the Son hath life. And he didn't give you one type of life, and he didn't give me one type of life. He gave me the life of the Son of God when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thank God if you're saved, you've got the Son. And if you've got the Son, you've got life. And if you've got life, you love his word and you love his church. Hallelujah. Whew. Hallelujah. I know this is simple stuff and y'all know this, but it's helping my soul. How about you? Hallelujah. And we're going to the same place. I think that's lost on us, ain't it? There's going to be Chinese and Russian and Iranian, whatever, Afghanistan. I don't care who you are, what you are, what your pedigree is. If you know Christ and I know Christ, we're going to the same place. We got the same Savior, the same life, and thank God he'll lead us home. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. I think some brethren really think that they ain't going to the same heaven as other brethren. Like there's other levels of heaven. Oh no, friend. We're going to the same home, the same country, thank God. So, do you love his word? Do you love his church? Hallelujah. Let me, if it's okay if I stop here for a second, preacher. Listen, you don't, the church is not these four buildings. You are the church if you're saved. You're the church. But you gather inside of these four buildings. So you say, well, I don't have to go to church to be saved. Well, technically, scripturally, you're right. But if you are saved, you'll want to be where the church is at. And I'm glad it's Sunday morning on 10 and 11 o'clock that the church gathers at Amazing Grace Baptist Church, and I want to be here. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, there's a step right there. Hallelujah. Thank God. I was about to float out through there. Amen. 1 John 4 and 11, that's where the scripture says, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. There it is. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Say amen. I ain't been preaching but for 2 minutes. Now, do you have the Son? Qualifying question. Do you love his word? And do you keep, and do you love the brethren? Now let me ask you this. Now this is going to be, I want you to think through this question now. Do you agree with God, the Father, about Jesus? Let me say that again. Do you love his word? Do you love the brethren? And do you agree with God about Jesus Christ? The Bible tells us in John chapter number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him not anything was made what was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The Bible tells us in the book of Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Here it is. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That's how God thinks about Jesus Christ. And the scripture says like this, that at the name of Jesus, that name that God has exalted, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth. So God has exalted the Son. What do you think about him? What do you think about the Son of God? Do you agree with God the Father about the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Colossians 2 and verse number 9, I love this. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What does that mean? God the Father put all his eggs in one basket, and that basket is Jesus Christ. Yep. Everything's invested in Jesus. What do you think about him? Huh? Amen. Do you agree with 1 John 1 through 5, the first chapter of the first five verses of the book that we took our text from? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and with our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father. And was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write unto you that your joy may be full. Here's what he says. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declared unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And this God sent his Son. I ask you this morning, what do you think about Jesus? The world now has a problem with Christ. Can I get some help? I'm telling you, you can quote right now up in, I believe it's Michigan, they're having speakers in the middle of town that plays the call to prayer of the Muslim call to prayer every single day, five times a day. And there's no problems for the most part with that, other than people complaining about the volume. But when you say Allah, when you say Buddha, when you say this, when you say that, there's no problem. But buddy, go down to the street corner and say Jesus Christ, there's an issue. That's why I rejoice. That's why I rejoice when Christ is being proclaimed on a national level. Are y'all hearing me? I thank God for it. I'm not complaining about it. And I'm not being critical of it. I thank God when it's been made clear to nationalities and the people around this world, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for the sins of man. Repent and believe the gospel. I love it, thank God. Hallelujah. Where's you heard that at? I ain't been getting that on Facebook. I ain't been getting that on Twitter, and I ain't been getting that on Instagram. But thank God when I do hear it. Because, and you see what it stirs up. It stirs up religion. It stirs up the devils of hell. It stirs up all those around us. I want to thank God for Jesus Christ being proclaimed. Hallelujah. Am I okay? Amen. Thank God. They hate his name. They hate the exclusivity of Jesus, because Jesus said, I am the way. Philip said, show us the way. He said, young man, I am the only way. He is the narrow way. And salvation and knowing God the Father is only by Christ. Jesus is exclusive, Acts 4 and 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, none other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus. Boy, it's just good to say that name, isn't it? Old precious preacher stood up on a platform, couldn't even hardly preach no more. They handed him the mic, told him to give a word, and he just said, Jesus. I'm telling you, when I hear that name, something happens inside of me. And thank God, according to the book of Philippians, if you're a Christian, you also rejoice in Jesus Christ. Not that you're commanded to and do, but it's something that's natural about you. And I've been cold from the Lord, and I've been distant from Him, and I've been discouraged in the Lord. I've been down at times, but there's something about getting around the body, hearing the commands open, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and hearing the name Jesus, it'll do something for you. But I want to ask you, what do you think about Jesus? Do you
agree with what God the Father said about him. As those disciples made their way up on the Mount of Transfiguration, as the Lord was about to transfigure himself for them so that they could see him in his glorified state, and there appeared Moses and there appeared Elias on the mountain, and Peter had that foot and mouth disease, you know, and he stuck that foot in that mouth and said, well, let's build three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elias, and one for you, Jesus. And there was a cloud that descended on that place, and there was a voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Don't hear Moses, don't hear Elias, hear ye him. Thank God. That's what God said about Jesus. Do you agree with God the Father about Jesus Christ? No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. Do you agree with God about Jesus, or do you have some other way in your mind that you think you'll make it to heaven? Huh? Maybe you'll do some good works, or maybe you'll help in the community, or maybe somebody will call you from the county and say, we need some volunteer time, and you go down and volunteer. That won't get the job done, friend. But, and many times, many of us see and view man that, yes, man may be bad and may be a sinner, but somewhere right here, there's just a little island of righteousness somewhere that's good about man. The Scripture says that there is none good, no, not one. Not one, none of us. There's some of us that's got some better morals than others. There's some of us that's got better this than others. There's some of that. But the Scripture says when it comes to the righteousness of God, there is none good. No, not one. Well, what does that mean? That means I can't get to God. Why can't I get to God? Because in the Garden of Eden, God said you can have everything in this garden, but that fruit back there, don't you touch it. But Eve went ahead and ate that fruit, and she took it to her husband, and he ate it too. And at that moment, they fell out of fellowship, was broken between God and man, and everybody that had been born or was born after that would be called a sinner with an inability to get to God. But thank God, when I could not get to where God was, he came to me and clothed himself in a garment of flesh, was born in Bethlehem, Judea, a little bouncing baby. Thank God, in 33 and a third years later, he offered himself to God without spot, without wrinkle, nothing wrong with him. God put the Son out and judged his Son on Calvary's tree for my sin and for your sin. And now they laid him in a garden tomb. 3 days later, he got up, and now we can come to Jesus and believe on him, and God will take a fallen relationship and make it right. That's what it means when it says, he that hath the Son hath life. Hallelujah. You're not dead. You're not dead to God. You're not dead in your spirit. You're alive to him. You can fellowship. You have life. You were once dead, but now you're alive. Thank God. This is the message of the gospel. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Hallelujah. Jesus is the way, and we must agree with the Father about what he said about the Son. Life is in the Son of God. Yes, life is in the Son of God. 1 John 5:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Thank God, if you love his word, if you love his church, and if you agree with the Father about the Son, I just believe the Scripture gives us reason to believe you have life. Hallelujah. And you have it in all of its fullness. If you have the Son, Spurgeon said this, there is the finished work of Jesus, and faith appropriates it. We trust in Christ, and Christ becomes ours as the result of grace in our souls.
We choose the Lord Jesus as the ground of our dependence. And then we accept Him as the Lord of our hearts, the God of our actions, and the supreme delight of our souls. Brother, this text in 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 12 didn't say that you would have life someday in a future state. It says, He that hath the Son hath life. That is a present tense reality. You see, the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. Jesus is life. So our first point was pretty simple. If you have the Son, you have life. Our second point is this, and I'm done. If you do not have the Son of God, you do not have life. The whole of the Scripture, the whole of the Word of God, this whole book is about two men. The first Adam and the second. 1 Corinthians 5 and 12 says that death came by Adam, the first Adam, when he fell in the garden. You know, man didn't die before then. You know why I had to say goodbye to my granddaddy about 3 weeks ago, 3.5 weeks ago? Because of sin. Because since sin entered the world, death by sin. But verse 21 of the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 5, said that life has come by Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. If you do not have the Son, you're dead. And you don't want to die dead. Is anybody with me this morning? You want to die alive. Hallelujah. And these folks, these good people right here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church, I don't know 1/200th of you. But years ago, the Lord made me alive. And because He made me alive and because He made you alive, we've got the same life and I know you. And what's encouraging about this day, this Friends Sunday. Now, there may have been some that invited you here to this place, and you're already saved. You've been born again. Maybe you're coming to visit the church. But maybe you've been invited by some on this Friends Sunday that know you need the Lord in your life. That know you that you need to get things right. There may be some of you in here that come here on a regular basis that may be dead to God and not know the Lord. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And I've got to say this to you. I've got to say this to you. If you do not have the Son and you die dead, it'll be eternal death throughout eternity. And this Bible that we love, and if we say we love it, we'll say amen here, teaches that those who die in a condition of angst towards God and enmity towards God will suffer in hell throughout eternity. Why? Because they're dead. And the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter number 2 said this, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? What the writer of Hebrews is saying to the Jews who might have rejected the Messiah, but he's trying to build a case that Jesus is better, is this. If we neglect Jesus, we will not escape. And that goes for Donald Trump or for Jay Schumer. Is anybody listening? But the Scripture says,
him. Drink of the water of life freely. I want to ask the body here this morning that's gathered at Amazing Grace Baptist Church, have you ever been saved? Let me hear it from you this morning. Do you have life? Amen. That means if you have life, that you've came and that you've drank and that you've came to Christ. Christ, you see, came into his own and his own received him not. That means he came to his own people, but they rejected him. But the scripture says, to as many as would receive him, to them gave he power to become the... You say, I don't have power to be saved. You're exactly right. You say, I don't have that kind of power to make me a new creature. 100%. But to as many as would receive him, to them gave he power. Power, power, dunamis, dynamite, power to become the sons of God. What do I do, Brother Jay? Receive. I was reading this week in Matthew. Those disciples were running the children off. Jesus said, no, let them come to me. And if you don't come to me like this little child comes to me, you'll have none of me. 10-year-old little boy, I stumbled in that little white church house on the side of the road. Musicians are coming right now, please. I stumbled in that little white church house on the side of the road. And my daddy got up that night and preached, and I'd made professions because I just knew, Brother Barker, that's what you're supposed to do. Make a profession. But that night, God made it plain to me that I needed Jesus and that I would suffer and that I sat and abided under the wrath of Almighty God and I didn't have an escape plan, and God made that real to me. And I said, now the little church I was saved in, God was doing a mighty work and a revival in that little place, and it was about as big as this one section right here. Maybe a little bit, this one section and a half. And we had, preacher, it's a true story. At that time, we had about 220, 220, 30 people in that little church. I'm talking about people looking in the sides of the windows. Brother, God was saving people, changing lives, drug addicts, drunks, adulterers. Folks that had messed up, a bunch of shame in the county, y'all hearing me? Made a big mess, nearly lost their families. And there I said, a little 10-year-old preacher's boy, all I'd ever done, brother, and this was bad enough, is I'd robbed quarters out of mom and daddy's vacation fund. Because right beside me was Bob's Bait Shop, and he'd sell me some Raisin Cream pies and a Sun Kiss if I'd take him four quarters up there. And Mama didn't know it, but they started counting change, wondering where all the quarters went. All they had was dimes, nickels, and pennies. And I was starting on them because I was running out of quarters. I'd done more than that. And it wasn't necessarily about what I'd done. It was about who I was, preacher. It wasn't about all the sins I'd committed, but it was about the sinner that I was. And that's what it is with you and I. It don't make a difference whether you've been addicted to methamphetamines or opioids or whatever the situation, alcohol, whether Jack Daniels is your friend or the cartel south of the border that's mixed up a concoction to ruin your life, or if you're sitting here and you're nothing more than a religious person, he saves them all, thank God. That night, preacher got up, and he told me about all that wrath, and he told me that if I didn't have the son, all I had was death, and I was in a bad way. But about midway through that preaching, he said, Jesus suffered for you, and they's something about that message, brother. They's something about that message. Can you believe it? I mean,
to the Jews, it's a stumbling block. And to the Gentile, Greek philosophers and those that would think they're wise, and it's foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And to the world, a message about a God in heaven and fallen man, and God sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer for the sins of man. And He did suffer, and He did die, and He was buried, and He did raise from the dead. And we are all now told and encouraged and commanded to believe on Him, and we shall be saved if we do. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for it's easy and it's light. This message is foolishness. But that night when I saw myself in trouble, that foolish message wasn't so foolish no more. And when I saw that I was dead to God and not alive to God, and I needed a Savior, and I was messed up, and I was in a wreck, and I needed someone, I needed a go-between, I needed a mediator, I needed a paraclete, someone to get my relationship with God back on the right again, the preacher pointed me to the cross and said, right there it is. The answer. Daddy was midways through the message. Mama thought I'd done been saved, and I'd done made five professions. If y'all been raised in a Christian home, some of y'all get that. A profession don't mean nothing. Salvation is what you need. And to my left was old Brother Raymond Williams, and Brother Raymond Williams was very big. And so he'd get happy when he was hearing about Jesus, and that big old gut would set into bouncing. And the preacher was preaching, and he got happy, and that gut set into bouncing. And to my right was Brother Ron Jones. He just had big old tears rolling down his eyes because he could sing the song, at the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart was rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. He could sing it. But I couldn't sing that, brother. And midways through, Daddy's preaching. I didn't wait for the invitation. I didn't wait for the piano player to come play a song. I didn't wait for the are you saved here this morning? Raise your hand. Are you not saved here this morning? Raise your hand. Preacher, I had to do business with God. And Mama was right behind me, and she couldn't help me, but I'd look to her every time I did need some help. And I looked behind me, and tears was flowing down my eyes. And I said, Mama, Mama, I got to be saved. I need Jesus. And I hit the altar. I didn't know what to pray. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. I just cried out and said, God, I'm lost, and I can't save myself. Would you save me? And wouldn't you know it? He saved me. How do you know? Because I once was lost, but I was found. I once was blind, but now I saw. And the faith, hallelujah, the faith of the Son of God found its way to my heart. Transformed. How can you be transformed at that young age? Well, you used to not care much for the church, but now you do. And you used to not care much for the Word, and now you do. And everything that God the Father says about Jesus Christ, you agree with Him. And you got a new family, and you've got a new hope, and you've got a new life, and you've got a new home, thanks to Calvary. Hallelujah. You don't know me, and I don't know you. But I'd like to introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ.